What does Jesus mean when he says that he has not come to destroy, but to fulfill, and then ends up talking about this higher law that he is giving us? We're going to talk about those verses today that we probably tend to skip over in the Sermon on the Mount and see if we can't find a few golden nuggets that we can draw out for ourselves today.
Welcome to Bible Women in Bathrobes, the podcast where faith meets comfort. Join us Tuesday and Thursday mornings as the gals from Women Warriors of Light and their guests don bathrobes and dive into the inspiring stories of women in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. From Esther's bravery to the Sermon on the Mount, we explore it all with warmth, laughter, sisterhood, and maybe even a few sleepy-eyed moments. Tune in live or at your leisure as we learn lessons from Scripture which empower women today.
Welcome to Bible Women in Bathrobes. I'm Tamara K. Anderson, one of your hosts, and I am so pleased to have Amy Johnson on with me. And let me tell you a little bit about Amy. Amy is a member of our Women Warriors of Light Advisory Board. She is a leader of women, a homemaker, and a licensed cosmetologist. Amy enjoys nurturing women through betrayal trauma and helping them become beacons of light. And she is a beacon of light and support and inspiration to all who know her. So Amy, thank you for coming on this morning to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Exactly. It's early and we're recording this. So it's awesome. So we're going to talk today a little bit about Matthew chapter 5, and we are on verses 17, and we'll probably get through 20, but we'll see.
Okay.
So let's start with verse 17. So Jesus has kind of just finished talking about the blessed are ye, and here's what will happen if you're a peacemaker, here's what will happen if you're meek and all that stuff. And we just talked about salt and light. And now we're to this part where if you pause and think about the people in his day, they are living a Mosaic law. And so what he's teaching them is probably different than they have heard up to this point. And they're probably thinking, why is he teaching us this new stuff? And so this is where we kind of are at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. And here's what he says. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And so I thought we'd kind of kick it off. And I'll just ask you, Amy, what do you think Jesus means by what he is saying right here?
I think this is really, like you said, I think we skip over a lot of this stuff. And I really think he is looking at this. We talk about this a lot in my family, actually, that my children, that he was considered a radical. And I think about the contrast from the world we live in now and the world he was living in then. And the leaders then were really the ones who were forcing the law. They were forcing that Mosaic law, the scribes, the Pharisees. They were the ones who were the Sanhedrin. They were forcing that law. And I'm not saying they lived it, but they were pretending to live it at least and enforcing it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that none of them were living it either. I'm just, they were the ones, they were kind of the enforcers. And so he comes in and he's not enforcing this law the way they would have seen it. They would have seen this very letter of the law. This is the way things must be done. And it must have looked so different. When you think about the love that he expresses as he's teaching, when you think about the way he's teaching, he's not teaching it the way they've seen it. And so for him to come in and say, it must have looked like he was taking the law and in essence, casting pearls before swine, right?
Yeah.
Quote him, right? Right. I really think it must have looked like he was being blasphemous. He was being, because they had this law that was designed to prepare them to see him and know him. And they missed it.
Yeah.
They didn't see him in the law. They lost it. And so he comes in and it looks like he's literally tromping on what they held sacred. Mm-hmm. But those who did hold it sacred did see him.
Yes.
And were prepared for him. And those who really truly held the law sacred and weren't using it as a whipping tool or whatever, truly did see him
and
recognize him.
Yeah, and I was reading up on the law of Moses as I was preparing for this, you know, just trying to understand, because they did have a lot of the things that we consider gospel, you know. The Old Testament talks about faith and repentance and baptism and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, and then there was that reconciliation that the law of Moses pointed towards, you know. They would have certain ordinances where, you know, the blood was used to atone for the sins of the nation. And they would literally have a scapegoat that they would symbolically put their sins on, and it symbolically was able to cleanse them. But all this pointed toward the Savior. And what was interesting is that by New Testament times, I was reading up on this, and here's what it says, that some of the traditions had become a little skewed, and they had these innovations that were called the traditions of the elders. And so they had kind of added all these things. When the law was given, it was simple. And here's what you do. And this points to the Savior coming. And so some of these things that we'll see as we study the teachings of Jesus Christ in this podcast is Jesus is going to rebuke the Sadducees and Pharisees because they kind of lost the meaning of that Mosaic law. And so it's interesting. He says that he's not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And so he is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. All of those things pointed to the Savior coming, him being the key piece in all of this, that all the prophets before had testified of Jesus Christ, you know, from Adam to Moses to Noah to all the previous prophets testified that Jesus would come. And that is why we have that lineage. You know, he's prophesied to come in David's lineage and all that. So all those things were fulfilled. And so here's where we kind of start diving in and seeing him saying, okay, let's take those basic laws that you were given in the law of Moses, say like the Ten Commandments.
Right.
So here's where you were, and I want to raise you to a higher level. You know,
yes.
don't do the minimum. Let's kind of boost you up a little bit.
Right.
And let's take a step closer to God. And
right.
so he's trying to raise them up and saying, yes, this is where you have been, but let's take a step closer to who you can become if you just up it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right. And don't you just love that? Because I think what we do in our own lives too is if we will let him guide us, he does the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my husband about this yesterday, where we that's a whole story, but we're not going to do that. We were talking about life and how, and I said, you know, I feel like we are at a point now where both of us, our main focus is just to do the will of the Lord. We just want to do what he wants us to do. Uh-huh. And for a husband and wife to come to that point together, I think is pretty awesome. And I don't know that I ever really foresaw that happening years ago.
Uh-huh.
Because of being married to a recovered addict. And so now I said, I feel like that's where he's at. We've come to that point, but now I feel like the Lord is saying, now I want you, I know you'll ask me and you'll do what I say to the best of your ability, but now I want to teach you how to move the mountains with your faith.
Mm.
And that's what I feel like he's moving us to do. And so I actually get really excited about this when I read about him saying, this is the law. I'm not destroying it. I'm moving you to a higher level, as you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes we forget he is the living water, which means he has this big picture over here to me. This is what it means to me. But he's always moving us to a better place, like water moves whatever's necessary along its path to mm-hmm. nourish all the vegetation on the side, all the animals on the sides. I feel like that's what he does with us, and he is the living water. And so I have to always trust that he could do anything at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put God in a box.
Mm-hmm. True, 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 right?
And we try and do that because we do have a finite vision down here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so this is, I think, what they were trying to do. They were saying, no, 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 no. This is not the box. This is not what we do. Also, there was a lot of other stuff going on, and he started gathering people, right? And yeah. he's a God of gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So he gathered people, and that, even in our society, how many likes do you have? How many people follow you? How many, right? That's a big deal in our world. And so, but it was a huge deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's a God of gathering, and he's gathering as he goes. And he's like, whoa, they're like, wait. First of all, get in our box. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good insight. I love that. So let's build on that and say, okay, he says that verse 18, he basically says that everything will be fulfilled in him, which we see, you know, he does. He is the ultimate sacrifice. And then it's interesting in verse 19, he kind of teaches us what he's hoping that we glean from this Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says. He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what he's kind of saying here is, what's more important is are you applying the commandments to your life? Are you teaching them by doing them? And I think this is kind of a little bit of a dig to those Pharisees and Sadducees.
Right?
You know, like, you guys aren't keeping these laws that I originally gave in the Ten Commandments, you know?
Right.
And so he says, and I think because of their position of authority in Israel at that time, he was kind of saying, I need you guys to be the examples and teach these commandments by example, but you're so focused on these other parts that you've added to it that you're not being an example. Let's go back to the basics. Let's go into those 10 commandments and say, okay, are you keeping these? And set it by example, kind of the humble leader that Jesus Christ was from the beginning. And so he's teaching us here that he wants us to do and teach them. So to lead by example. And I think that's always a challenge because none of us are going to do perfectly, right? And so I think especially as women, we kind of get on ourselves and think, oh, well, I can never do and teach because I'm always going to fall short.
Right.
Don't you think, Amy?
I do think. In fact, I said to my mom yesterday, we were having this conversation and it's mom, right? So there's very few people that I will really get emotional with, but it's mom.
Yeah.
Right. And I was talking to her about some struggles that I'm dealing with right now. And I said, the thing is, I'm so tired and I'm happy to give grace there to them and to them and to them. And she goes, right, you're happy to give grace to everyone. And I said, yeah, except myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what you're talking about, is that we think we're not good enough, but again, my mom, and maybe this is really an important lesson for all of us, but for me it was. I was raising five teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty much raising him alone because my husband traveled 20 days. He was gone 20 days, home for 10. And so when he came home, all the focus became about him. Mm-hmm. And so I, but those 20 days, I was mom. Like there, mm-hmm. I was mom. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't have to provide an income. Mm-hmm. He was doing that. So, but I was having a really tough time with two of my children. And I remember my mom, I actually called her and said, I think I'm going to have to find a place for one of these to go live. I think I'm failing this child. Mm-hmm. And she is 5'4" and awesome. And she said, don't ever talk like that, Amy. Now I'm 5'8". And so I tower over my mother, it feels like, but she's a powerhouse. And she just said, don't ever talk like that. And then she said, you are the perfect mom for that child. God doesn't make mistakes. And he will learn what he needs to learn in this life because of you. And I think when we look at this and we say, I'm not adequate to teach, mm-hmm. we need to remember that you are exactly where God wanted you to be or knew you would be. Mm-hmm. It's probably a better way to say it.
Yeah.
And you got this because he's got you. As you reach to him, he's got you. Mm-hmm. And so you, just by virtue of living, I think sometimes we also get so caught up, and this is how I think the Pharisees and the Sadducees ended up. We get so caught up in, I have to teach it, that we forget about the living part. And then when we teach it, our words ring hollow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we really need to just focus on living it.
Yeah.
And as we focus on living it, we will teach it.
Yeah.
Those Pharisees weren't living it. So they were just the enforcers of this law. They weren't really living. And so, but God has got us. As we live what he wants us to live, he's got us.
I love that. And I think you've hit on one of those key principles here that he is going to help us. And I think probably perhaps one of the greatest principles we can teach is the principle of repentance and how we need Jesus in our lives.
Yeah,
sure. And I think I remember being a young mom and you know, when you've got little kids all day and you're kind of going crazy, I remember my husband coming home and I was having a discussion with my oldest, who was then two. And he's like, Tamara, you're literally arguing with a 2-year-old. You know? I'm like, who else do I talk to all day? You know, but his point was, it's okay. You don't. You're right, and he's still learning. And I had to learn to apologize to a 2-year-old, which took some swallowing down of my pride. And I had to go to him afterwards and say, hey, I'm sorry.
Right.
I love you and please forgive me. And of course, little kids are great. You know, they just give you a hug and they love you. And I thought back and I thought, this is what we need to be mirroring. This is what we need to be teaching, is that I am not perfect.
Right.
And I need Jesus and I need that grace just as much as you will in your life. So am I going to be perfect at keeping the commandments? No.
No.
But I can be perfect with Jesus.
That's
you
right.
know, he can make up for my deficiencies if I turn to him. So I think maybe that's probably his biggest point here, is be humble.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I really think that's why everywhere he went to, he also said, come unto me. Mm. I've really been thinking about at our launch, for those who missed it, Tiffany Fletcher spoke, and she shared how someone talked about that it's not about, I'm going to misquote this, but I use the phrase muscling through a lot because I muscle through a lot. And so she talked about how it's not about muscling through until we're kind enough, and muscling through till we have enough charity, and muscling through until we have enough faith. It's about coming to Jesus, and he brings us to the point of kindness and the point of charity and the point of faith. We, instead of muscling through and thinking, if I do this, I'll get to be by Jesus. Mm. And that has been just running through my head since we launched Women Warriors of Light. because I think this is exactly the problem. And that's why this law became so convoluted and so is because it became a counterfeit of the law. It became, no, this is what I think we should. Here's another thing. My husband was talking about this. We are created in the image of God. But sometimes we twist that and try and create God in our image. And so instead of them saying, hey, you have, this is the law we are supposed to live. They were saying, well, this is the law. This is how we're going to get to Jesus. And they started creating these new laws and creating God in their own image and putting him in a box and all the things that we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you've explained it in a way that hopefully we can understand it in nowadays terms. Right. Yeah. And we can see here in verse 20, this is where he kind of dives in and says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you're like, oh, so and he does this because he is trying to help them see that your leaders aren't exactly modeling the commandments by example. And I'm sure that the people knew that. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure they knew that these people, they're prideful. They think it's their way or the highway. And if you're not living up to this standard, then you are the least in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is teaching them, no, you're the least in the kingdom of heaven if you're teaching the things, but not teaching by example. You know, and he says, what I want you to do, he says, I want you to do the commandments. I want you to live them.
Yeah.
And so should we move on? I'd love to dive into maybe at least this first principle. Are you okay with this?
If
we
go to I'm great. Yeah, go ahead.
In verse 21, he kind of dives into at least one of the Ten Commandments. He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. So that's one of the Ten Commandments, right? And yeah. Here is his, I'm raising it up a level. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And so he's saying, before you've been taught, don't kill. He right. says, here I'm raising it up a bit and saying, don't be angry.
Right.
You know, that is harder.
Much harder.
You get angry.
Much harder. And what's interesting too is, I don't know. We take words and we make them mean what we want them to mean sometimes.
Mm.
Right. And so, but what's interesting is I keep having this word destroy at the very beginning of what we've discussed come back in my brain. And I think this is kind of an interesting culmination in verse 21 that he says, I'm not a destroyer.
Mm.
I'm not a killer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not angry. I am a builder. Mm. I'm an uplifter. I'm an enlightener. I'm an empowerer. I am all these things. I literally, my goal is to bring everyone to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Every word I speak is designed to lift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think this 22 comes really into culmination here.
Oh, yeah.
Because he not only says if you're angry, but then he says whosoever shall say to his brother Raca. And this is really interesting because I've been thinking a lot about words and how much they matter lately. And I had a woman tell me about a study that was done where they learned that every word has a vibration.
Huh.
And that those vibrations, when they, and I haven't read the book that she talked about yet, But she talked about how they put them in something in test tubes and they cut it. But the vibration you could see when they froze it, it became either a beautiful crystal, like beautiful, or ugly.
Really?
And chaotic. And again, I haven't read the book, so I'm just going off what somebody else told me. So. But I'm really interested in this because I have watched a person say to me in a beautiful tone, what if someone was overhearing, they may not pick up on, but use words that were designed to cut.
Mm.
And I find this interesting. And so he's literally saying, whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka.
Mm.
And we don't know what that really means. But years ago, a woman, I was at a class and she said, can't we just leave the language of Satan in the gutter where it's from? And I've really been thinking about that. Like, why does the Lord talk about, why does he pull out a word, Raka, which to us, we don't necessarily know what that means. If I was a scriptorian and a historian, maybe I would really know what Raka meant to them back then.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our words like that too.
Oh, yeah.
And they're designed to cut and to hurt and mm-hmm. to offend. And not only offend people, but offend the spirit.
Mm.
That's what they're designed to do. And I think in all of this, he literally is saying, I have given you the law to prepare you to recognize me. And now he's saying, I am now going to give a higher law mm-hmm. that will prepare you to recognize and be on my side with me when I come again.
Mm.
So what are we doing with this higher law now? What am I doing with this higher law?
Right.
And am I choosing to avoid contention?
Mm-hmm.
Am I banishing contention from my life? Am I choosing to be a peacemaker?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying, hey, I will not battle with anyone that I love on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I believe that's what he's saying is, it pains me when you contend. Please stop contending.
Yeah.
Never make an excuse to contend.
Yeah, no, yeah. And what I love about this is that, at least when I apply it to my own life, is that there's no way I'm going to do this on my own. I can only not be angry or have my anger curbed when I invite Jesus in. And there's been times when I have felt super angry inside and I've had to take a mommy timeout.
Absolutely.
Or a timeout from somebody else that's an adult in my life.
That's right.
and I've had to just go to the God in prayer and say, I feel so angry right now, and I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel love. I want to feel the peace that comes from God, right?
Yeah.
And so I almost have to take that anger and lay it at his feet and say, I don't want to feel this way, and I know you can help me change. I know you can help me change this anger and help me see this problem from a point where I'm not approaching it from anger. That I can approach it maybe as you would, Jesus, and help me to see these people as you would. And I'm not saying that if you've been abused or anything like that, you know, that you forget any of those things. It's important to have boundaries, but that we can take our anger and lay it at the feet of the Savior and say, take it from me. And I've had that happen where, but we have to be willing to approach him and say, take it. I don't want this. I don't want this feeling. I don't want this intense feeling of anger. I need you to take it because I can't get rid of it wholly and completely on my own. You know, time will help you calm down, but I don't know what it is about us women, but we kind of tend to stew and replay that conversation in our mind and we get all worked up again. And really, he's the one that can help us calm down, solve the problem and replace that anger with peace and probably with more clear thinking of here's how I can approach this person who's angry, but they're angry because they're hurting. They say hurt people, right? So
for sure. And honestly too, with that, Tamara, I think it's really important to acknowledge that I really love that he went further and said, don't say things in anger. Because I think from someone who has stuffed their feelings pretty adeptly for years, that's a really dangerous place to be because then your body starts to break down. And so I think what I really love that you said is that you have to take the anger. And to me, that means acknowledge it.
Yes, absolutely.
Feel it. Go ahead and feel it.
Yep.
But then take it to him and say, now what?
Yeah.
I've got this, but I don't want to call my person in my life Raka.
Yeah.
So what, now what?
Yeah.
And that's where he is so awesome. But I think we do have to take it. We have to feel it.
Yes.
Because otherwise we do damage.
Yeah.
And if we don't take it, it's our way of trying to protect our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when we protect our own heart, it becomes hard. Mm-hmm. But he's very good at protecting our heart and keeping it soft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, and I've had experience with that. And so I know that.
Yeah.
So I really love that. But we really need to take it and then take it to him.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's the one that can help us raise ourselves to the next higher level.
That's right.
And he can take all of our anger. I've had some angry prayers at God, believe me.
Absolutely. And he's okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can take your anger to God and give it to him, you know, and he can help us get it out and then move forward.
His view is a lot bigger and he sees the pain that's caused by us being here.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Quick 30-second biggest takeaway from today's discussion, Amy.
I think for me, it really is about, do I destroy or do I build?
Ooh, yeah.
For me, it really is. Do I destroy or do I build? What am I doing that builds? When I leave, and we've heard this probably many times, at least I have in my life, when I leave, do I leave someone better? When I get up off my knees, I am always better because he's a builder.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a destroyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I think my biggest takeaway, honestly, is we can emulate the commandments when we have Jesus by our side. Kind of like you were saying about what Tiffany taught us, that me plus Jesus can be kind. Me plus Jesus can curb anger. Me plus Jesus can be that peacemaker. Alone, not so much. And to give ourselves that grace that with him, we can do those things and become a better person. And it's just little tiny steps every day. So
nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us this morning. We hope that you can find some peace and encouragement as we dive through these teachings of Jesus Christ to help you take one step closer to Jesus and that you can feel his peace today. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in to Bible, Women, and Bathrobes, hosted by Women Warriors of Light. We've loved exploring the stories of remarkable women or the teachings of the Savior today with you. If today's episode brought someone special to mind, be sure to spread the word. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a moment of inspiration and sisterhood. Just a friendly reminder, all opinions we share are entirely personal as we are trying to decipher and apply Bible teachings just like you are. Until next time, stay faithful, and may your journey be blessed and illuminated by God's love.